Welcome to Paper Money, the biweekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from weapons and warriors to werewolf, Milton Bradley to White Wolf. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is May 1st, 2010. Go ahead. You're just laughing because you bought a copy of Weapons and Warriors at KB Toys for $4.99 like I did, aren't you?
I did not buy one at KB Toys at $4.99. I bought a number of them over a number of years from the Games Plus auction for far less than that.
I think we have one unplayed in the box in the basement somewhere.
No, well, you too can put it in the Games Plus auction.
I probably should. It's a huge game.
Yes, it is. They are monstrous, and I'm glad that I got rid of a few of mine. I now have some shelf space.
Oh, come on. Don't you want to fling ball bearings at plastic bricks? Wasn't that basically the whole game?
No, you're flinging the plastic toys, too.
Oh, sorry.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, well, anyways, today is April 30th, 2010, and I got to tell you, folks, when we originally started this show almost a year ago, our target length on the show was 20 minutes. We've never, ever done a show at 20 minutes, but this might be the week.
We're trying here.
That's right. It's a light news week, and we wanted to have someone on the show from Catalyst Game Labs. We were talking with Randall and Lauren about doing that, but they're not able to yet. They're still trying to wrap some things up so they can talk about stuff on the show, and we hope that very soon they'll be able to do that, but they weren't able to take care of that this week. So no guest again on the show, but we're going to run through the news for you. And we do have some interesting news this week. And believe it or not, we have reader mail. Everybody, yay! Thank you very much for the crowd noise. All right, let's move into the news. Okay, our first news this week, Reaver Games to close. This one comes sadly from Yehuda Berlinger over at the Purple Pawn, and this is sad particularly because Yehuda's game It's Alive is published by Reaver Games. Reaver Games is closing up shop, humbly citing lack of knowledge and experience as well as a difficult economy. Jack, the owner of the company, is offering the company for sale and its assets as well as remaining games in stock. Folks, it's hard to start a board game company.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that, as a matter of fact, last week, or last episode, I should say. And, you know, like most businesses in America, they do fail.
Well, you know, and it comes down to this. Reaver Games, I was over at the website when I was writing the show notes. In addition to Yehuda's game, It's Alive, which is kind of a neat game, by the way, they have some other neat games. This is not a problem where the product is terrible. This is a problem of it's a crowded marketplace. And, you know, just like any other company, to get noticed, you have to have some capital. You have to have some marketing. And Reaver Games, produced a nice lineup. They did one of the things right, by the way. And I as somebody who prints for a lot of first-time people, what Reaver did was go out with four or five titles to start with.
Right. Always a good plan.
Always a good plan because the new titles boost your backstock sales. The distributor's taking more seriously, but it takes a lot of capital, and you've got to have four or five good titles to start with. So they did a lot of things right, and kudos to them for that. And kudos to them also for saying, you know what, this was our call and we missed it. All right. Kudos to Jack for doing that, citing lack of knowledge and experience. Sorry to see it happen. But, especially to a company that was doing so much of the right things. But again,
well, and you know, 2009 was a really hard time for businesses, let alone trying to establish a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've been talking, quite frankly, let's face it, we've been pimping the game industry and saying and talking about how great sales are right now. But it's not even across the board, and it's still a crappy economy, and it's still a hard thing to start a new business. Unless your name's Richard Garfield, I think you could probably start a game company with no trouble.
I'm not sure about that even.
Oh, come on. Lightning might strike again. All right. And moving on, our next news story, we're going to debut By the way, I want to thank, before we debut, we're going to debut our new lawsuit theme music. Big shout out to Mr. Dan Glover and Mr. Ivan Ewert, who recorded this and called my wife, by the way, at about 11:30 at night one night. So I'm assuming they were drinking and playing Guitar Hero or something and came up with this theme. But our new lawsuit theme, ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
Lawyers, guns, and paper money.
Hoi Kiwa!
Okay, well, after that brilliant piece of music, here's our story. Would you rather fight this in court? In 2009, Zabmondo Entertainment filed suit against Imagination Entertainment, claiming that Imagination's release of Justin and Dave's original Would You Rather board game falsely and deceptively conveys to consumers that Imagination's game is the original Would You Rather board game and falsely implies that Zabmondo's board game was not the original. Zabmondo won its case in the U.S. District Court, but in April 2010, U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit reversed the ruling, deciding in favor of False Media, the company that first published the Would You Rather books from Justin Heimberg and Dave Gomberg before being purchased by Imagination in 2008. Are you guys all following this? Heimberg and Gomberg registered trademarks for the phrase Would You Rather in 1997 for books and board games, and those assets were included in the purchase of False Media. Perhaps most importantly for Imagination's case, Zabmondo owner Randall Horn approached False Media multiple times to get permissions to use the trademark or to purchase it outright. As the court noted in its ruling, the attempt to acquire the trademark rights in the mark supports an inference that Zabmondo believed at one time the mark was inherently distinctive.
It's cool.
Wait, no, there's more. The conflict between the companies isn't over yet. As Imagination CEO Shane Yeend, Y-E-E-N-D, Yeend, notes in a press release, a jury will get to decide if Zabmondo must stop selling its Would You Rather products altogether and pay Imagination damages and royalties. And I'd like to, the closer on this, by the way, this comes from BoardGameNews.com, who adds this little editorial comment. All this drama over a game with hideous ratings on BoardGameGeek. And with all due respect to the folks at the Geek, I'm sure they hate Sorry Sliders too, but it sold, you know, like 1.5 million units or something, you know, is something outrageous. Would you rather, if I recall correctly, at least one of these, apparently, is in Barnes & Noble, and is in the book chains and does well, in those markets, whether, you know, I think it's a party game, right? So,
yeah.
But anyways, how can I say this? This doesn't happen that often. But in this case, someone is going to get sued out of existence.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it to me, but you know, I do like when you bury yourself under your own, I would like to see hoisted on your own batard, but I think they've actually buried themselves on the batard.
Yeah. And I have to confess that, I didn't know that the Would You Rather books were that hot of a license that it would be something that you would fight over, but apparently, it is. Speaking, by the way, of companies who getting hoisted by their own petard, just got a solicitation from Alliance Game Distributors with all of the World of Warcraft collectible stuff purchased by Upper Deck at an 80% discount. The words fire sale come to mind. take the money and run, Swiss bank account, Mexico. Obviously, they've got to clear all that stuff out by a specific time frame at Upper Deck because they have to stop selling it due to the license agreement ending. But 80% discount, wow. Yeah, I'm sure we won't see any of that at Crazy Igor's this year at the conventions.
Potentially not. Depends on if there's really good cards still, you know, in that thing for the World of Warcrafters to put on a really cool turtle icon or something like that. And that they sell them at that rate, you know, retailers sell them at that rate as well.
We'll see. Like I said, how can I say this? Retailers love an 80% discount.
Yeah, it's just a nice profit margin.
Now you can sell it at 50% off and you're still making 30%. Everybody loves that.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, that was my little aside on Upper Deck in the news here.
You just were disappointed that they weren't showing up in our law feature.
Yeah. I you know, how can I? What would a law feature be without Upper Deck? So I had to get that in there. Anyways, and the final bit of news, by the way, this week has to do with me, which came as a surprise to me a few weeks ago, and we it came out right after we recorded the last show. The company I worked for a long time, Imagic Graphics, was purchased recently. There's been some up in the air about who was going to purchase the company. It's been for sale for a while. But the company was purchased by a company called GH Packaging out of Muskegon, Michigan. And I signed a sales agreement with them about 3.5 weeks ago, and that I was going to be continuing my job as a sales rep. They decided, without telling me, to get out of the game business. Oops. So Imagic Graphics will no longer be sponsoring the show, because who cares about soup labels on a game podcast? Imagic Graphics printed a lot, did a lot of commercial printing for soup labels and a lot of crazy packaging stuff in the horticultural industry. But really, GH Packaging announces that they're going to exit the game manufacturing business. Now, one of the reasons that this is interesting is twofold. One, because it affects me, and I always like to talk about things that affect me. But Imagic Graphics, one of the reasons we started this show was basically to Imagic Graphics had just come into the game market, but we had experienced staff. There was myself and several others who had come over from another manufacturer that had gone under. And so we had this company that was new, but we had experienced staff. So we wanted to start the podcast to get the word out that, hey, there's a new company, but, you know, we know what we're talking about. And so here we are a year later. The podcast is still around. The company's not.
It's pretty good, but, you know, we won't talk about your track record with companies, so.
Oh, we can. Folks, I'm the angel of death, just for the record. The company I was at before Imagic Graphics had been in business almost 100 years before I got there. So, and now they're not. But I worked in IT. A lot of those startups were destined to fail anyway. It's not my fault. It wasn't my fault that the 98-year-old company went out of business too.
No, not at all.
I just happened to be there when it happened. Yeah, but
sure, yeah. That's it.
But folks, if you're looking for a good reverse indicator on a company's performance, man, bet against me. I'm the guy they invented credit default swap insurance for. But anyway, so now the interesting thing on this is that there are still four or five companies in the U.S. who know what they're doing with games in terms of turnkey or full game manufacturing. Okay.
And you promise not to work for them?
Which one don't you like?
Well, there we have it.
So, but the issue I have is that several of those companies, I from knowing with them, I don't – they do games, but I don't want to say I don't trust them. I don't know that they have the same passion for games that we had at Imagic Graphics, right? The games group at Imagic Graphics, we really cared about doing this stuff, right? Special shout out. He doesn't listen to the show. He's a kind of a Luddite like you, Rhett, but my good friend Dave Denton, no one in this business does cards better than Dave. Right. Dave is the kind of guy who, if you say, I want 64 cards, Dave has, by the time you get done saying cards, Dave has pictured how this is going to lay out on a press sheet in his head. And so it's guys like that who, you know, we help make quality product. And I think this is something that, there are companies out there who say, oh yeah, we do cards. Not really. What they have is a machine that cuts cards. Anyways, so long story short, our sponsor this week is the Purple Pawn with not Imagic Graphics. We should probably re-record that whole segment, Red. I kind of went on a little bit long, but I've had to sit on the news for a couple weeks, and I did want to talk to people about it because the word is getting out there. GH Packaging.
20 minutes.
What?
20 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Here, let me hurry. So. Wait, hold on a second. I'll check. Hold on. Oh, we're at 14:33. We got a ways to go.
Oh, we could do that in a minute.
Oh, yeah. See? Exactly. So, that being said, now that I'm a free agent, Rhett, it's your turn to lead a segment.
It's my turn. And we're on to reader's mail. As usual, we would love to hear from you at a reader's mail, and we actually have a number of them this week. First is from the boardgames.com. Dave Miller writes.
Well, Dave Miller is from purplepawn.com, and he was responding to our boardgames.com story about the $250,000 asking price, right?
I apologize. We'll start that over then.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want Dave to get more mail from Dave telling me he's not with boardgames.com.
I would like that. I would actually be entertained. This was in regards to – actually, let's start over here.
Oh, no, I'm going to leave this all in.
Yeah, I love you too. In our reader mail this week, commentary about our boardgame.com purchase price of $250,000. Dave Miller from the Purple Pawn wrote, "I listened to your latest podcast episode, which I agreed that $250,000 is a lot, maybe too much. I think that you're dismissing the value of the name too easily. I don't expect that many people blindly type boardgamers.com directly into their browser, but I do expect that people type board games into their Google. In fact, I know for a fact that 500,000 people per month search for exactly those words, and that the boardgamers.com website is the first result returned for that search. So point of fact is, you know, that's about, 50 cents a month at that value?
Well, it's 50 cents a person searching on it.
That's right.
I'll be blunt, 500,000 people searching for exactly those words, board games, okay? That's worth some dough.
That is worth some serious money.
And
so we stand corrected.
Yeah. Well, I had basically said that give me $5,000 for domain name and I can spend $245,000 and get just as many hits. 500,000 people searching on it doesn't translate into clicks necessarily.
Absolutely.
But 500,000 people you're going to be number one on their search. That's worth some dough. I don't know if it's worth $250,000. But it's seriously worth some dough. So, David, thank you very much for that piece of information. I knew that boardgames.com got a lot of traffic, but I think that might be more than I had thought. Oops, sorry, Red. I thought you were going to say something there.
No, I thought we were pretty good at it.
Yeah, give us a short show. We get pretty loose.
Yeah, here we go.
And Rhett, tell us briefly what our we have some voicemail on the Skype line. Rhett, do you want to tell them briefly
what Well, I think that our voicemail, I think we should actually just play them a segment from both of our voicemails.
Oh, I think you're right. I think this with no further ado, these are our other two voicemails.
Hi, this is Maggie. I met you at Toy Fair in New York, and you had some Lucite stools, and you weren't sure where you got them, and you could check. Thought you would be able to check about it where they came from, and I would like to know because we're trying to find something similar to that for Astra.
Para aceptar los regalos aprieta en uno ahora.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so that you know, I got to tell you, that Skype mail worth every penny we spent.
Oh yeah.
So yes, one.
So
one,
so was one he call. Looking for work? Is that what that one was?
Hey, that could be me in a month. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, but I believe you don't open yours with no hablo español.
Yes, exactly. Por favor. Anyways, so Rhett, how can other people leave us anonymous voicemail?
If you'd like to contact us, you can email at papermoney@thepurplepawn.com, or you can Skype us at papermoneypodcast, or you can phone us at 773-634-9377.
And remember, if you're going to leave a message, try and leave a complete message and in English.
Yeah. You know, I might go for the incomplete messages more than the lack of English. I am a bit challenged on that.
Well, you know, we played the call on the show. I guess incomplete messages in a foreign language do fine.
I was going to say, and hopefully for their sake, you know, we've just advertised the hell out of somebody's game.
Yeah, exactly. So normally, by the way, after the reader mail, this is the section where we would do our commentary or our interview. And again, we were hoping to have Randall and Lauren on from Catalyst Game Labs, and they were not able to talk about their situation just yet. And as soon as that gets resolved, we're going to have them on the show. So
they have said that they would be happy to come on our show. So
yes,
legal things, I suspect, keep them from responding yet.
Correct, correct. And as you guys know, anyone who's ever seen those TV commercials that say, we work at the speed of business, knows that the speed of business is actually glacial. So, yeah, exactly. We're hoping to get them on the show in the very near future. In the meantime, Rhett, what's coming up in the world of games?
Well, let's see. Coming up is Donata.
Hey, some Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't say I couldn't pronounce it. I just said I couldn't understand it.
No, Dominion Alchemy is supposed to release next week again. Next week, right? It was supposed to be Easter, and then it was supposed to be last week, and now it's next week. But no big shows coming up. I think we've got, honestly, we have a little gap in May, and then we start up in June with convention season, because I think Astra and Origins, and I think there's one other show in June, but nothing coming up in May.
No, May is, I believe, another light month. And, you know, from the game industry's point of perspective, the two big shows are always summer, mm-hmm. and we're not really into summer until June.
Yeah, honestly, given what I have seen quoting, that was back when I worked for a company that quoted games, looks like June, July, August is going to be, as usual, our big months, but nothing is coming out major right now, with the possible exception of whatever comes over on the boat with Dominion Alchemy.
Yeah, you know, I've heard lots and lots of nice rumors about what's coming this summer, and it's a banner year. Actually, a lot of exciting titles, a lot of new directions for a bunch of companies. Looking forward to reporting on that this year.
I'm looking forward to to this being a good year, like I said. But we always try and brief people on what's coming up in the industry, and right now, not much. So everybody, sit back, relax, regroup, and listen to the show.
Well, that's all for this week. Our next show will be May 14th.
And Rhett, tell them what will be super special about next week's show.
What's super special about May 14th will be, it's our 1 year anniversary. That's right. You've survived 26 episodes of listening to us. That's the one guy. Now, we started with three listeners, and we did manage to, you know, keep one of them for a full year.
That's right. That's right. And we'd like to thank you. And he's a regular listener. He's an invalid at Daisy Hills Nursing Home, and his iTunes is stuck. He's only listened to that first episode over and over and over again. But anyways, yeah, it's our one year anniversary episode. I don't know if we're going to do anything super special. I'd like to have someone from Catalyst Game Labs on the show. We keep talking about it. But yeah, 1 year. Like I said, we've managed to outlast the company that we started the podcast to help promote. So I'm all about surviving.
Yeah, you know, as long as we don't out-survive the entire industry, I'm good with that.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, we could have very short shows. Today, the industry's been demised, and we're still broadcasting.
All right. Let's kill this one.
Well, that's all for me. I'm Rhett Kipp.
And I'm Ben Clark. We'll talk to you next week. No, we'll talk to you the week after on May 14th.
Want to try that very last part again?
Oh, I liked the very last part. Okay, go.
All right, we'll leave it. You liked it. We'll leave it. We like it.